We did a lot of this. We did a lot of this. Ouch. Ouch. And the midwife said, no, not ouch. Try out. And so I did a lot of this. Ouch. Out. And then I hit that thing called transition. And I said, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. Matt, I can't do this anymore. I took the midwife by the shirt and I said, I cannot do this anymore. And she said, you're doing it. You're doing it right now. I can't do this anymore. Look at you. You're doing it. This is what you were created to do, and you are doing it. Then I said, I need to push. My body just told me I need to push. And she said, well, on the next contraction, let's try pushing. And 10 minutes later, Jonah Meyer Bolton was born. And we looked at him, and we loved him. We took one look at him and fell so deeply in love. I was amazed by my stomach when I was pregnant. Friends and strangers coming up and they want to touch it all the time. And I was so proud of this thing. I said, I've gained 60 pounds. No stretch marks. I weigh over 200 pounds. Can you believe it? And no stretch marks. Look, no stretch marks. Vanity has a way of catching up to you. After all the breathing and the ouch. After all the pushing, after all the blood and the sweat and the tears, after the belly went down, I saw them. Not on top, but underneath and down my thighs. They say dark-skinned women, when they get stretch marks, they get a little lighter than their skin. Or light-skinned women, when they get stretch marks, they're red or deep pink. These things were blue. Bright blue stretch marks underneath my stomach and down my thighs, the breathing and the ouch and the pushing and the blood and the sweat and the tears and the stretch marks, bright blue. It's a high price to pay for newness of life. But I'm telling you, it is worth it. That man ran to Jesus full steam ahead. He ran to Jesus and he fell down on his face at the feet of the master and begged him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one's good but God. You know what to do. Keep the commandments. Moses gave them to you. Keep them. The man said, I've been keeping them from my youth. And then Jesus, looking at him and loving him, said, you lack one thing. Take all your possessions and sell them and give them to the poor. Then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. And the man was shocked. And he turned away from Jesus and he left grieving because he had many possessions. And the disciples were shocked. It's hard, Jesus said, to get into the kingdom of heaven. It is easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich woman or a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven. Imagine these three little babies, maybe 9 years old, 10 years old, 11 years old. Imagine them under their covers with a flashlight reading their Bible. If you do a good job with them, they'll be doing this, reading their Bible underneath their covers, and they'll come across this passage of Scripture. And they will be struck down with fear and trembling. Rich people can't go to heaven. It's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to get into heaven. They'll take off their covers and run to their parents' bedside. And they'll say, "Mom, look what Jesus said. It's written right here. Rich people can't get into heaven." And the parents will be tired because it's hard to parent. And they'll say, "Sweetie, we're not rich. Sweetie, don't worry about it. We're not rich. Bill Gates is rich. Madonna is rich. We're not rich. Just go to bed." And the words are to comfort those little creatures. But even at 9 and 10 and 11, they know that's not true. And even here together, we know that's not true. This story is about money and about possessions and how you can be possessed by your possessions and how you can be seduced by wealth and money, how you can be anxious about what you have and what you don't have yet, how you can be in bondage because of money, relying only on yourself and your earning power and not on the grace of God. Is this story about money and stuff? You bet it is. It is also about healing. This man comes to Jesus and falls at his feet like everyone in the book of Mark who needs to be healed or needs the demons inside of them to be exorcised. He comes and he falls down at his feet and Jesus says, "Go, get rid of it all, sell it and give it to the poor." Friends, if you are possessed by possession, here's the prescription. Sell it all and give it to the poor. If you are possessed by anger and resentment and the inability to forgive that one who harmed you, or insecurity or not believing that you are created in the image of God, throw the doors of your heart wide open and let it go and follow the way and the truth and the life. If you are possessed by addiction, by the bottle, if you have said 100 times, "I am going to change. This time it is going to be different," but all the while you're going through the blueprint of your house and you see that bottle on the second floor in the box marked linens, and you see the bottle in the garage at the bottom of the toolbox, and you see that half-empty bottle in the trunk of your car. This is what Jesus says to you: give it up, get sober, and come and follow me. This is the life of Christian discipleship, following the way, the truth, and this eternal life. Is it going to be easy? No. Is it going to be hard? Yes. Forgive, not 7 times 70, but 7 times 7, but 70 times 70. Can you hear the breathing? Deny yourself. Pick up my cross and follow me. Ouch. Ouch. Take all your possessions and sell them and give the money to the poor. Can you see the bright blue stretch marks on your soul? There will come a time when you are following the way, there will come a time where you can't take it anymore. Where you say, I can't do this anymore. You take Jesus by the shirt and say, I can't do this anymore. It's too hard. Jesus will say, of course it is. For mortals, it's impossible. But for God, all things are possible. And thanks be to God, we have a sanctuary full of midwives. If you come into this place and say, I can't do this anymore, that person sitting next to you will say, you're doing it right now. You're doing it. This is what you were created to do. I can't do this anymore. The choir will sing to you, you're doing it. Look at you. You were created to live this way. I can't do this anymore. And a whole church full of midwives to get you through transition until you are pushing. And this is the best news of all. Through you, through the church, God's new world is coming into being. God's new world, where there is no more mourning or crying or pain or poverty, where there is no more of all those things that keep us in bondage instead of in freedom, all those things will pass away. And this new world is slipping in through you. This is the good news of the gospel. Somebody ought to say amen.